Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
And we're back. I'm back. I enjoyed doing the show, and I missed it. I was supposed to be on the last two episodes. The airline industry apparently had different ideas, but I'm back. My name is Chris. With me from MichiganBeerGuide.com is JR.
Welcome back, Chris.
Uncle Pete.
Hey, welcome back. Great to be here.
All right, Dugout. Dugout is now with us in spirit. You know, he's with me. He's a road warrior for work. He's with me and Uncle Pete. You know, sometimes.
We know what it's like.
Yeah, you can't make the show. So show number 58. And JR, we got kind of a unique theme here. What are we doing?
Yeah, we're trying to spice things up and talk about some different content tonight. We're going to talk about some not fake craft beer news. So I'm going to start off the show, as we always do, first by inviting all of our listeners to please pop open a beer, kick back and relax. And remember, we're not a bunch of beer snobs. Everybody's got a spot at our table. So no matter what level of craft beer connoisseur you might be, a newbie or a seasoned veteran, pop one open and join us. And so now I'm going to read our quote of the evening, which we always start out the show with. And related to not fake craft beer news, the quote is, "The thing about quotes from the internet is that it's hard to verify their authenticity." And that quote is by Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, no way.
I don't know how that's possible, because Al Gore invented the internet much later, I thought.
Yeah. But I told you guys, that's something I've passed around on. There's many variations on it. The one I passed around is you can't believe something on the internet just because it has a picture with quotes by it. And then, of course, it was Abraham Lincoln. But
well, speaking of fake craft beers, I think, Chris, you're going to start off the show with a real craft beer, a real good one, a real good local one that you are very fortunate to live right around the corner from. So why don't you introduce us to that beer and then tell us about some fake craft beers you've heard about.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's good too, because it's good when a good brewery opens up near your house, but I've been learning lately it's good when your friends also know that there is a good brewery by your house. And I'm talking about Koonin Brewery. We've talked about it on the show many times. This is not the first time we are mentioning their name. One day they're going to get their own episode. Maybe they already have. We drink a lot of beer on the show. But they will get their own episode one day. But for now, I am going to share with you, I picked up a growler of their American IPA. Now, I'm a fan of the Drippa.
I've talked about many good things about Fluffer on this show, but I went with something that I haven't had yet, and according to their menu, this thing is a staple. It's 6.5 ABV, from what I remember from the menu. The IBU, I'm going to have to look up here on the internet real quick. But I can tell you, as far as IPAs go, and from just what I remember of, reading the description on the menu, I mean, they're modeling this after a West Coast IPA, and I can tell you that by the color, as someone who gets to, I may have said Northwest, West Coast IPA, someone who gets to the Northwest frequently, I have been able to dabble in a lot of the West Coast IPA styles. I can tell you the color right off the bat. I mean, it's right where it should be. Your West Coast IPAs, you're in more of the range of kind of like a clear amber, a clear brownish kind of color is what's to be expected with the style. You take a sniff. I mean, and it's citrus, it's floral, it's everything, you know, hops right at the end of the aroma here. This has been out of the refrigerator for a while, so it's warmed up, so it's kind of where we need it to be. I mean, I know what to expect of this, but I'm going to taste it right now because I can't wait to get it into my face. Mouthfeel, you're like right in the middle as far as, you know, we're not too crisp, you know, but we're not too heavy. But it is definitely, it's not a lighter beer as far as mouthfeels go. We are right in the middle. The lacing on it, I mean, it is sticking to the side of the glass. And then the taste, I'm going to taste it again because this is so good.
I got to have more.
Yeah, it's kind of like the aroma. You get citrus up front, you get floral in back. Oh, this is so good. I can see why. I can see why this is this is one of their money makers at Kunin. Kunin American IPA. I've rambled on enough about it. If you're in Michigan, you're lucky enough to be near. Even if you're in Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo, you can hear our voice. Traverse City, another one of these Michigan beer meccas. All right, we make our way upstate or out there to get yours. This is something that you should make your way east or downstate to get. I mean, because this is, guys, really, how long do we give Kunin? Maybe 5 years? Well, they're still our little secret here. Maybe
that's really up to them. They've had big plans for expansion, and things are moving at a snail's pace. But you know, better to take your time and get it right, I suppose. So we'll continue to be patient. You know, at least it's right around the corner from us. But I think it's only a matter of time till, you know, a beer like Drippa Double Rice IPA is, you know, produced in larger quantities and bottled so more people can enjoy this stuff. But in the meantime, we'll keep hoarding it.
I think you just think word of mouth alone is going to catapult this stuff to success. And, you know, hey, if you're in Michigan, you're lucky enough, go get it. And if not, you know, you do the beer trading thing, beer mail, you know, maybe find a friend in Michigan. I think you go to michiganbeerguy.com and maybe, you know, we can get helped out there.
Amen.
Yeah, I know JR and I have hooked up there a couple of times and enjoyed the fruits of the labors there. Great place.
And I have to say, I'm looking forward, as I do every year, going there on St. Patrick's Day for the Breakfast of Champions, where they'll have some special beers brewed with cereal flavors. Lucky Charms Lager is one of my favorites. There's a blueberry pancake ale. Can't remember all the rest of them, but...
I'm gonna miss it this year, guys. I'll be traveling on St. Patrick's Day, so
I'll have one for you.
Yeah, that sounds magically delicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I land at like 4, so you never know. I might be able to make it there for the rest of the night, but yeah, I won't be doing the breakfast thing this year. But we talked about a real craft beer, and JR alluded to it at the top of the show. There's some faked craft. There's some fake craft beer about, supposedly, in the stores.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? A name that has been connected. There's two stories. We'll start with the first one. It comes from the more legitimate news source. Let's just say Fox News published a story. Is Walmart's, quote, craft beer... Come on, loading. There we go. Is Walmart's, quote, craft beer really craft? craft. Walmart has been selling its own line of craft beer since 2016. Since the 6 and 12 can variety packs debuted, the discount retailer has been scaling the alcoholic offering, and the beers are now available in 3,000 stores across 45 states. I can tell you right there. I mean, what we've talked about craft by definition, no. But I mean, you can also argue, guys, we've been doing this show now over a year, coming up on a year and a half. Is craft beer now maybe really a style rather than a, a type of brewery?
Craft beer is so popular now, and then it's the growth in the beer industry is in the craft. And we've talked about the faux craft beers that are like a Blue Moon or a Leinenkugel. And these beers pretend to be playing as a craft beer, but they're actually mass-produced and owned by MillerCoors and Shock Top by Anheuser-Busch, etc. So those are the faux craft. This, I believe, was a contract brewed beer where they just tried to, you know, put a label on it and make it seem like something it wasn't. So I guess it's also kind of a faux craft. So you got to kind of, but I mean, buyer beware if you're buying something you never heard from Walmart and it's probably very attractively priced, then, you know, you get what you pay for. And I haven't tried these beers. They might be fine. They might be brewed to style at a contract brewery and not be a bad value.
Now, the only reason I pose that question to you guys is just because I bet you Founders, I'll use that as an example, has a distribution that far surpasses that. And to me, distribution aside, that's still craft beer. I mean, just because of the quality of the beer.
Well, ironically, the Brewers Association, who's the lobbyist group for craft breweries, actually does not allow Founders to be in the Brewers Association any longer, because when they were sold 30% of their interest to a foreign brewer, the brewer of San Miguel, I believe, in Portugal or Spain, you must be 25% or less owned to be considered independently owned. So now they are not a member of the Brewers Association, technically do not fit their definition of a craft brewery. Now, that's their definition. My definition, there's no way I am excluding Founders from the craft beer world, because they clearly are. Lagunitas is another example. They're 50% owned by Heineken now. It's a 50-50 partnership. So they're not allowed to be in the craft beer, the Brewers Association. So in industry jargon, industry journals say that they were kicked out of the craft beer club. They lost their craft beer card. What does that really mean? It just means they can't be in the Brewers Association. As a consumer, those beers are more than justified disqualifying in craft beer in my world.
Well, I mean, I guess I put it this way. When Led Zeppelin started selling a million albums, did they cease to be a good band? No. it was still good music. It was still quality music. And I guess it's kind of where I'm going with a lot of the, like, you know, Lagunitas, Founders. I'm sure soon breweries around, I'm sure Shorts is going to soon, give them another couple years. I mean,
now that being said, this Walmart beer I wouldn't put in the same category, but it's no different than when you go to Kroger and you buy, what's the fake Mountain Dew they sell, Moon Dust or something. You know, these are just private labels that, you know, large chains can, you know, they have the clout of so many stores to boost distribution through that they make their own private label, and that's what they're doing here.
Contract made by, you know, a biggie like a Pepsi or a Coke or something like that.
Where the problem comes in is the consumer doesn't know that, and they feel like they've been had when they discover, hey, this isn't really a craft beer. I bought this because I thought it was a small craft brewery, and here it is, just some stuff with a fancy label that makes it look more like a craft beer than it really is. So I'd say...
Well, I mean, the rest of this Walmart article pretty much says what you said about Founders. That the Brewers Association pretty much says, no, your distribution says you don't count.
Right. But you know, I believe the customer sued Walmart over that because they were insulted that, you know, hey, I paid for something. I thought I was getting a craft beer and I wasn't getting it. I was misled. But yeah, for that, I'd say really, if you're a pretty naive consumer. I mean, I was in Kroger the other night and I saw some brands that looked just like that. They were kind of like these names I had never seen. And
yeah, guys like us, though, you know, we look at the containers and we look at the labels and we, you know, at least I know I do, and I'm pretty sure you do, JR. And you can pick out pretty quick, you know, if stuff's authentically from a small brewer or if it's contracted to a biggie. And you got to look at price, too. If you're looking at something that's, you know, it seems too good to be true, this, you know, great, you know, juicy IPA that it seems like it's a juicy IPA, but it's running for, you know, $8 a six pack or something, you got to wonder.
Yep. Let the buyer beware. I don't think that any of those lawsuits could possibly have any merit in court, but you never know. You get the right quirky judge. We've seen some crazy stuff happen in the courts. I think there's somebody that won a lot of money from McDonald's for having their coffee be too hot, so who knows?
Yeah, Walmart did say they have a statement. It says, "We hold our suppliers to high standards and are committed to providing our customers the quality products they expect. We take this matter seriously and intend to defend ourselves against the allegations." So pretty ambiguous there, but it's Walmart lawyers. What can you expect? The gentleman, he did sue. Said it's wholesale fiction created by the defendant in order to deceive customers. So, yeah.
Well, I guess that would be the word is deception.
If they I'm sure the marketing team and everyone else designing this stuff behind the scenes is dreaming it up, going, hey, let's make it look like a craft beer.
That's a reach. Well, I'll drink to that. And speaking of drinking, if you don't mind, I'm going to move forward and introduce my beer.
Yeah, probably getting thirsty over there, JR.
I am drinking a beer from the great state of Louisiana, from Parrish Brewing Company in Broussard, Louisiana. And this is I think it's a one and done, like they do once a year. I've never had it before. Somebody mailed me this, and it's wonderful. It's called Reve, R-E-V-E. I didn't take French, but it's got the triangle thing over the first D, so I'm going to guess that it's pronounced Reve. And it's Reve Coffee Roasters, Parrish Reve Coffee Roasters Coffee Stout. And I did do some research on this, and Reve Coffee Roasters is a local coffee roasting, a coffee business down there that I believe has a very good name down there. And this ties into the episode tonight, is this is one of the great trends that we're seeing in the industry, is a lot of breweries are partnering and using fresh roasted local coffee. I know Liberty Street in Plymouth, Michigan does that. And I know Griffin Claw has some beers that are their Flying Buffalo Bourbon Barrel Coffee Stout. They actually have a variant that is made with locally roasted Great Lakes coffee. So I've poured this and I've drank about half of it already. It's unbelievably delicious, fresh, really it was cold brewed coffee. You know, very little head on this thing. It's got a little bit of lace legs going down, a little bit of just a small amount of sweetness. Really, I mean, it's just a coffee bomb. I mean, the aroma is coffee, the taste is coffee. It's a nice medium to full bodied stout. Wow, just really delicious. Not too bitter, not sweet at all. Just really solid, a cold brewed coffee flavor. I'm going to read from the label. This silky smooth coffee stout is brewed with a carefully selected blend of specialty grade estate beans from Colombia and Java. Our friends and coffee gods at Reve have finished them to a full city roast to highlight the true character of the beans and their origin prior to addition to our export strength milk stout. Enjoy any time of day. This beer will drink like a delicious cold brewed coffee. So there is a little bit of lactose in there because it's a milk stout. It doesn't list the strength. I would guess it probably to be 6 or 7. It doesn't seem overly, I don't think it's a big 9-10 percenter, but it's really a delight to drink, and I wish you could join us with this.
Where's Reve from again?
Broussard, Louisiana. And I read on the brewery's website, it was very hard to find anything on this, but I read that they released this, and they serve it with king cake down there for, you know, Fat Tuesday's coming up. So I think they release it like a month before Fat Tuesday for the Mardi Gras celebration.
Hey, I wanted to welcome beer. Junior, Uncle Pete's son, to the podcast.
Junior's in the house.
Yeah, they made some noise while John was talking. They were getting Junior on the line. So welcome back, Junior.
All right.
Welcome, Junior. Hey, I just introduced a coffee beer. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking, Junior?
Can he hear us?
Maybe he can't hear all of us.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
You want to take a time out and fix that? Or
nope. Let's have him add Uncle. Let's add him back to Uncle Pete's call. And he can probably hear us that way.
Oh, I thought I saw him on and heard him, and then I heard him drop out.
There we go. Let's do this. There we go.
Hey, you back, Junior?
Hey, I can hear you now.
All right, there we go.
Can you hear everyone else?
I can hear you now.
He could not hear us.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear Chris. I couldn't hear anyone else, though.
Okay, you got us all then, eh?
Sounds good now, though.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Can you hear John and Pete?
Good.
You can. Yep. We can hear everybody?
Welcome, Junior.
Hey.
All right.
So I just introduced a coffee beer, so if you'd like to introduce your beer, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Right on the spot, right away.
And if you're not ready,
welcome back.
I can gab about something else, and then I'll give you a minute to collect yourself, all right?
Well, I have two, so I'll do one. I guess I'll introduce one I have. I have an Omegang brewery from Cooperstown, New York, Three Philosophers.
Been a while since I had that one.
Yeah, I saw it today, and I was like, you know what? I haven't had this one. I think this is one of the first craft beers I had, I think, back a couple years ago. It's like a quadruple ale, and comes in at 9.7%. So I'm going to crack it open and or pop it open and see how it goes. So I got another Belgian triple here, too. This one, I don't know if I can even read the label. It's got some Bastilles from... let's see. Bugenhout, Belgium. It's a triple. Carmeliet.
We got to brush up on our foreign languages.
Yeah.
I think I know what that is, the Carmeliet.
Three granit, the grain, I guess. Three grains. It's got oats, barley, and wheat. 100% natural. It won the gold medal World Beer Cup. So that'll be later on.
Okay.
Cool. Now, the Three Philosophers, that's the one that's got cherries, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It sounds delicious. I used to go out to New York all the time, and Omegang was everywhere, and now it's not. And I feel like I wasted that opportunity.
I've been to Omegang. It's a great brewery. Great food there, too. Excellent food. And right next to the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So I took a trip. I went to Southern Tier on my way up. Then I hit the Hall of Fame and Omegang. And on the way back, I believe I went to Great Lakes in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Steak by the lake.
Sounds quite the beercation for you.
Yeah, well, it was good because we had the whole family, and I squeezed those brewery visits in between other family activities. Of course, the Hall of Fame was family activity.
Well, looking forward to beercation, that's for sure.
Do they serve beer at the Baseball Hall of Fame? Can you get yourself a draft beer like you can get at every ballpark at the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I don't think in the area where you go around at the exhibits, but I think at some point there might be a cafe or something. You know, I don't remember. I don't think I cared because I just wanted to get through it so I could go to Omegang.
Can it be a true What's baseball going on, experience Junior, without a
with your
flat
Omegang
draft beer?
Quadruple?
Well, I just shared a little bit with my roommate here, and he raised his eyebrows and... gave me a little smirk, so it's pretty upfront, man. You take a sip and immediately get some of the alcohol right away, and then you get a pretty hearty, malty body right after that. So It's really good, actually, though. It's not really hoppy, not too hoppy. I'd say, you know, probably lower on the IBUs. I don't know if that they even tell you on the bottle. I am drinking it a little bit cold. It says serve at 50, and it's probably more like, I don't know, 40 degrees. But it's good. I like it. I would recommend it.
You getting any fruit influence?
Yeah, there's a little bit in there. There's actually some chocolate and caramel kind of flavors I'm getting out of it, and a little bit of fruitiness. And I definitely get some of the cherry, like you were saying. It's good.
Good. Glad you like it.
Yeah.
Man, they're partying at Junior's, huh?
Always. Round the clock.
Oh, so man. We were talking about some of the industry trends, and I was talking about the coffee. That's a big industry trend. Another one is milk stouts are getting real big. So the beer I had was...
Not going to mind that trend. Not at all.
And the other part about milk is there's some other beers being brewed with lactose with IPAs that are becoming milkshake IPAs. So Tired Hands and Omnipolo are both well known for that.
See, I haven't had one of those
These
yet.
These things, they sell out in hours at the brewery.
Really?
And so those are just some more new trends. The pundits are expecting lagers and kolsches to come back.
Come on.
I'm seeing this resurgence in session beers. People are looking. As a matter of fact, Founders now, their biggest seller is All-Day IPA. And I remember hearing a story that they were very close to not even releasing All-Day IPA. There was some discourse among the management whether that would be a viable option, and now it's the biggest seller. So I think that's a trend we're seeing, is people want to be able to drink more and maybe have something not as strong so they can, you know, drink those throughout the day and not get too buzzed.
And I think there's still room in that space,
etc. So Kolsch is another style that's a lower alcohol and easy to drink in the warm weather. Moving on to some other trends, fruited sours are getting really big. Includes like Gosa as a big a style that was pretty much extinct and within the last 3-4 years has exploded. It's a lower alcohol with nice fruit flavors. There's a plum, Blue Point makes a plum Gosa. Everybody's heard of the Westbrook. They make a great Gosa and a key lime Gosa. You're seeing a lot of breweries come out with Gosas now. A few more categories here. I'm reading an article from a Bon Appetit, skimming through it. But there's field beers, some really unique, weird vegetable-infused beers, like Scratch Brewing, it mentions, has a mushroom-filled oyster Weiss. There's some other strange ones here. So there's some people trying some really off-the-wall stuff. Dry hop sours are becoming very popular. Beers Gone Wild, and, you know, Brett beers. You know, no secret that sours are thriving now. A lot more people are exploring and discovering that category. And it says pilsners. I'm going to just lump that in with the lagers and the kolsches. Anything that's easy to drink, you know, that's easy to get new people into craft beer when you can give them stuff that isn't so far off when they used to. And it's a good gateway beer, but also session beers in the summertime. And last but not least, maple syrup beers are. There's actually an article here saying pumpkins are going out and maple beers are coming in. So that's good news for me because I can't stand pumpkin beers. But last but not least, and I think no one will be surprised by this, is the juice is loose. New England IPAs, the juicy IPAs, are now getting really, really popular. And we're seeing it here in Michigan where Old Nation is blowing it up with M43 and their Greenstone American Pale Ale, double dry hopped. Boxer is another one that Old Nation's producing. Transient has several beers of this style. It's that cloudy, hazy, juicy New England style IPA or double IPA. Of course, you know, Treehouse and Trillium are amongst the real popular ones nationally. They started in the New England. It started in New England, but now it's spreading everywhere. So it's a style that's not going away. So I'm thinking Uncle Pete's pretty thirsty about now. So I'm going to pass over to him and let him introduce a beer and talk about a topic of his choice.
Sure thing. That's great, JR. I wanted to add a couple things to your list that crossed my mind as well, and some of the reading I've done with the trends. A lot of breweries you might notice now are packaging their beer not only in growlers but in crowlers, which is a smaller version that comes in a can, so that you can have a beer to take home or beer to try that you haven't tried before and not necessarily have to buy a larger quantity to take home. And so crowlers are becoming quite popular. I know you've bought some. I've bought some. And maybe for your benefit, JR, you might like this one, but maybe there's a trend that's leading towards fewer pumpkin beers.
Amen.
Every year we seem to see, you know, over the years we've seen more and more and more pumpkin beers, but you got to imagine these guys are starting to do the math and saying, hey, this stuff's not clearing the shelves. Maybe we ought to not make as much. So that could be a trend that I've read about.
Not to mention
I've read
them releasing it in the middle of July.
Yeah. And I think something else I've seen in a few places is the trend towards some of the craft breweries also dabbling in craft spirits. And it's not new necessarily, but I think the trend is seem to be increasing. And so you're seeing more whiskeys and vodkas and gins and the like coming out of some craft breweries that say, hey, you know, maybe we can expand our craft specialty also into the spirits world. And I think that's kind of cool. And, you know, would like to learn more about that, actually, myself personally. So, okay, I've got a beer here called Party at the Moon Tower.
Oh, I know where that's from.
Latitude 42 in Portage, Michigan, and it's a double IPA. Boy, I cracked the can open on this, and the aroma just filled the room.
All right.
Yeah, the aroma just danky coming right out. The party started as soon as I popped the top. So it really was pleasing to the nose with citrus and pine. Definitely a very strong malt backbone on this beer. Taking another sip now. Not disappointing whatsoever. Got a nice malt sweetness to it. The hops are very prominent, more on the drying side. Very dankalicious in my opinion, and worthy of another one, I would say, after I finish this pint. But a very colorful can, very colorful label design. And I'll let you guys cue me in on the references to Party at the Moon Tower.
Oh, Dazed and Confused, man. I was
Dazed and Confused.
I was 14, 15, maybe 14 to 16 when that movie came out. I mean, that movie is right up my alley. Yeah. No, that's where everybody had the party. That's where it's where they got the keg. The kid was gonna have the party at his house, and his parents were gonna leave town. And the guy came to deliver the keg early, and it got busted. So they moved the party to the Moon Tower.
Okay,
nice. Well, I've had that beer, and shout out to Chris Cook, the manager of Merchants Fine Wine in Dearborn, Michigan, because he turned me onto that beer. When I was looking for a good local IPA, and he insisted that I take a single home, and the next time I went, I bought a 4-pack. Yep. Really nice, colorful can, but the beer inside is fantastic. It's very tasty.
It's very tasty. 8.4% alcohol. A whole variety, handfuls of hops here: Citra, Mosaic, Columbus, Seven Seas. Very exciting beer, and it kind of leads me to talk a little bit about. Is it better to drink beer fresh, or is it better to drink beer not fresh? And I would say in this case, you know, these kinds of beers, my opinion is drink them fresh. I mean, I've got a lot of big beers, barley wines, milk stouts, all of those sorts of things sitting in my cellar and not afraid to age. But when it gets to these IPAs and double IPAs, to me, and I'm sure a lot of you guys will agree, the fresher, the better. And even now, these juicy IPAs that John was just talking about just seems like, hey, the fresher you can get them, the better they are. The flavors, I think, are just at their peak right after, you know, fermentation and right after packaging. And the longer you let them sit, and if they're in bottles, if they get any light to them, or if you're not keeping them at appropriate temperature, you're going to get some fading in the flavor profiles, whether it's the hop profile, the malt profile, or even the effects of the yeast flavors. So anybody want to comment what
just
your
add
feelings
add
are?
Just to that, not only, I'm actually read some articles recently where a lot of brewers are saying even the beers we're used to cellaring, like the barley wines, the imperial stouts, the high ABV darker stuff, a lot of the brewers say that they release these beers after aging them already. So they're encouraging you to drink those fresh too, whereas normally our mindset is, oh, let's put them in the cellar, they'll mature and get better. But there is a point of no return where they peak and they're not going to get better. They're just going to start fading. So, for example, a beer like KBS has already been aged for a year in the caves, and there's fresh coffee in there. That coffee is going to fade. So that may be a beer that tastes better at the beginning. Then you have some people say it's too hot because there's bourbon barrel. The bourbon's too hot, and it needs to mellow out so it's easier to drink. But somebody like me, I like boozy beer. So I've actually am starting to turn my philosophy around on that. And maybe it is better just to drink even those types of beers when they're fresh. But
I'm
certainly
not saying
anything
I've never,
hoppy or anything with coffee, I think those are two things that fade rather quickly.
Yeah, I'm not saying I've never drank the big beers fresh. I have, and they're fantastic fresh. They're, you know, in some cases, it's nice to age a few of them and see what the differences can be over the course of time. So I have drank, you know, milk stouts and coffee stouts and barley wines and all that. I've drank those fairly fresh and enjoyed them because I think, you know, the brewers, they're basically saying, look, the beer is done. It's ready to drink, and it's ready to drink right now. And so they package it and distribute, right? And so why not?
I'd say a good compromise to that is to buy two bottles of it, or if it's a bomber or a four pack, and you know, drink a few fresh and then put a few away and see what the time does to it. That way you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that.
It makes me think of the Stone Best Buy IPAs right. that they have, where, you know, on the bottle it's, you know, a Best Buy whatever date. You know, that'd be a good way to do a comparison. Take two of those and drink one before the date and drink one, you know, 5 weeks after or something, and see the difference.
Yeah, the Enjoy By series. That's right.
Well, there's still,
you know,
people
I've
that
bought
want
some
to
of those
Hop
after
Slam
the date
because they
and
say
fine.
It turns into a really tasty barley wine.
Yeah, right.
So to each his own. But
well, I think with
can't
anything,
go wrong with fresh, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think with anything, whether it's beer or meat or vegetables or anything, has fresh ever steered you wrong with anything? Think about that. Just saying.
No, not that I could think of. So when in doubt, drink it fresh, I guess, would be a good way to go.
Amen. Well, Junior, you got something there to share with us?
Well, I haven't cracked into the next one yet. I had to move out of my living room.
Drinking
there,
that
got a little
down. You might need... Chris, do you want to open a new one or you want me to? Because my coffee beer's gone. I'll be glad to go next.
Hey, if you're ready, go ahead, man.
I've never been more ready.
Are we hearing?
This, it's a beer
is
I've
everybody
never had.
Hearing each other?
We were talking about the New England IPA, the New England style IPAs, and I've got one of the coveted Treehouse beers here, and this is a double IPA from Treehouse that I have never tried before. One that came in the mail this week from Massachusetts. So, without further ado, I introduce you to Haze, and the can is purple, so you could say Purple Haze.
Oh.
And we get a little Jimi Hendrix here.
You gotta catch me when my computer's rebooting. All right.
Comes in a 16-ounce can, fresh from Massachusetts. So I didn't want to sit on this too long.
Well, I can play Massachusetts by the Bee Gees, too.
But so I just cracked this open, and I'm pouring it, and I'm seeing the haze. And I can't wait to smell the haze. It's looking oh so murky in my Michigan Beer Guy glass. And it's got a really nice, frothy, two-finger healthy head. And I can smell this without even bringing it up to my nose. I could smell it. It's so pungent. Unbelievable, that juicy, juicy juice look. It looks like a probably a pineapple orange juice appearance. Hazy, like a somewhere between orange and brown. But the aroma is tremendous. Just unbelievably, you know, juicy tropical fruit, passion fruit, orange, grapefruit. And I'm diving in because I can't wait to taste this. It's everything that I've heard it would be. The flavors are tremendous, just like what you would smell, that really juicy. There's a lot of flavor here. And I can tell there's a lot of hops from all the tropical fruit flavors, but there's also enough malt in this, you know, to balance it out very nicely. It's a real treat. And I think the best attribute that I'm enjoying about this is the mouthfeel. It's got a nice creamy mouthfeel. You know, generally these are brewed with either wheat malt or oats, and that usually gives you a really nice, smooth, creamy mouthfeel. And it's just, it's a home run in every category. You know, it looks great, smells great, tastes great, mouthfeel. I mean, you're going to rate this, it's like 5 stars all around. So Treehouse Haze, it's a living up to the hype.
Wow. I really am trying to play Purple Haze. We'll get there.
Well, yeah, there's some of the things that I've read about the Haze beers, JR, or the Juicy Rover. Beer.
Let Jimmy take over.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Is anybody hearing me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to read the back of the can. We're excited that you are holding Treehouse Brewing Company's hop-saturated double IPA. Haze. Haze is a soft and dangerously drinkable beer with flavors and aromas of orange juice, fresh peach, and papaya, offset by a gentle bitterness. It is intensely flavorful, yet well-balanced. Haze is the result of our uncompromising dedication to fresh, progressive, and delightful beer. We hope you enjoy it with laughter, good cheer, and in the company of those you love. So I love you guys.
We love you too, sir.
Cheers to that.
Brothers in beer.
Brothers in beer. And I just poured the end of it. It's always important with these hop bombs to pour the bottom of the can out.
Did it take
a lot of times you get some sediment, goes to the bottom, some hop sediment.
I'd like to point out that it took 58 podcasts for I love you guys. Just saying. This restraint on our part.
It took a Treehouse Haze to get that out of me.
You know,
I have one of their other ones that is coveted called Julius. So, Uncle Pete, if you're able to make it over Friday night, I'm not taking any chances by letting this thing age too long. I'm going to be drinking it fresh. So you're on notice, Pete. If you make it here, you'll be rewarded with some Julius.
Okay, can you hear me, JR? Is that an orange Julius?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep. That's the orange can, Julius.
Cool.
So that is the true New England IPAs, but I have already mentioned on the show there's a lot of local breweries doing these really well too, and Old Nation in Williamston, Michigan, outside of Lansing, really have a home run with M43, New England style IPA. They also just came out with an American Pale Ale, slightly less alcohol, and that's called Greenstone American Pale Ale, double dry hopped. And they have another one called Boxer that's very popular. All three of those are tremendous and sell out instantly within an hour or two of being released at the brewery. All in cans. And Transient Brewing out in southwestern Michigan, you know, they're also have 4 or 5 different variants of this style. So, you know, I've had some conversation with some traditional brewers, and it drives them nuts because they're used to taking great care to clear their beer so it looks nice and clear. And when they see this, they call it dirty beer. They're like, oh, I can't believe. And I'm like, well, you know, look at the bottom line. You know, these things are, you know, this style of beer is not going away. People are flocking to it and they're selling beer. And, you know, it's like you gotta adapt to the market.
Hey, maybe because I'm a musician, I always bring it back to music, but think punk rock. All right. All of a sudden in the mid-70s, when it's all about big drums and big guitars and big vocals, all of a sudden the style of music shows up where it sounds like it was recorded in some guy's basement. And most of it was, but it's all about lo-fi, you know, the low-fidelity mics, low, you know, it was amps you got at pawn shops, guitars that were, you know, it's maybe worth $20, and it stuck around. And you know, maybe the same thing's going to apply to craft beer styles here, where maybe it's where the people are used to making these pristine, shiny products. You know, maybe there's people are finding, you know, character in things being rough around the edges, like things like haziness.
I mean, you look at these beers, they almost look like a Hefeweizen.
Yep, very hazy.
You know, and some of the brewer's secrets behind the haziness in JR, but besides, you know, oat flake and wheat grain added to the grain bill, is the use of fruit purees, or I've even read about some brewers even using flour. And also the water makes a big difference. If you're using a more highly chloride water, calcium, that's more chloride, heavy on the chloride side, it gives a softer mouthfeel and a smoother, rounder taste. So there's a lot of brewing secrets that the punk brewers, to your benefit there, Chris, are using, I think, to try to, you know, let's test the waters and see what's happening.
And Pete, you're right. I think, might remember I brewed a New England IPA not long ago, maybe 6 months ago, and that was really good. And I used like 25% flaked oats.
I did get to taste it. I brewed my first batch of Dugout on like July 3rd. I did get to try it. It was delicious.
It was delicious. So, I tasted it.
To old school brewers, I would say, hey, you know, keep an open mind. Brew what the people want, and you will profit from it.
I think there's even some debates in some circles going on around, you know, should this be another new style of beer, right? And I'm not sure that it yet is able to fall outside of the standard, you know, beer style guidelines of an American IPA. But there's discussions. I think there's circles that are talking about it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And I would, you know, you make it and people are buying it.
Well, there's so much.
You know, it just makes you wonder what's going to be the next thing
that any brewer should consider doing. I know at Schoolcraft College, where I teach the marketing class, Tom Block is the brewer out there, and he's one of those old school guys that at first he didn't want to do it, but you know what? I give him credit. He brewed a batch, and it's going to be on tap in the Schoolcraft tap room because he realizes, you know, even though it was almost painful for him to do it, he said he was looking at the sight glass and seeing how cloudy the beer was when it was in the tank, and it kind of bothered him. But you know, when he starts seeing everybody ordering them and enjoying the beers, that's really his end game. He said, "Hey, as long as people like it, so you know, you gotta be flexible."
A lot of bands used to put on in their liner notes that no synthesizers were used in the making of this record. Yeah, after a few years, that changed because sometimes you learn that advances can enhance things instead of, the way you've always done something may not always be the best way. You know, maybe other people will like different ways of doing things. I think that's what it's all about.
I like your music analogy.
It's what I did for most of my life, so I always come back to it.
So if you ever go to Las Vegas, you have to go to the Double Down Saloon, one of my all-time favorite dive bars, because that's a it's a punk bar, and it's just, you know, when you're in Las Vegas and you're doing, you know, there's everything's the same, and then you find the Double Down, and it's cathartic to go there. It was one of my favorite spots.
Well, to your credit, I never make it out of the Link because there's a Yard House there.
Oh, you make it out to go to the Double Down, trust me.
Well, no, I never make it out of the Link because they have like 100 taps, and that's it for me. It's all I need.
Well,
last couple times I went there, pretty much just posted up there.
You could go to the Double Down and have a bacon martini.
The problem is, it's usually work, and I'm usually tied to the strip, and I don't have a car. Like, I've never actually driven on the roads in Vegas. I've been to Vegas double-digit times. I've never actually driven in Vegas.
All right, well, next time you go, I'm going to give you full instructions. It's right by the airport. You're going to Uber there on your way to the airport. Have a couple drinks and then get on your plane. Deal?
All right, deal.
So, moving right along. Who's thirsty here and needs to introduce the next beer? Uncle Pete?
I can pop this triple Carmeliet.
Belgian triple?
Carmeliet.
There we go. The young guy. It's Wednesday. One day closer to Friday. Tonight. It's pre-Thursday in his world.
Belgian triple from Bugenhout, Belgium. And three grains, oat, barley, and wheat. Blonde, robust, smooth, and fruity with a delicate, spicy flavor. And it says gold medal World Beer Cup. So I don't know what year. Maybe last year. Or
Wow.
Means it got one is what it means.
Yeah, that's all it means, though. It doesn't matter when.
I just looked it up on Beer Advocate. It's got a 94, so it's got something for it.
Triple Carmeliet.
If an athlete shows up with a gold medal, you don't ask
for Rouergy Bastilles.
Browery's Bastilles, located in Bugenhout.
Bugenhout.
There we go.
It's a three-grain beer.
Yeah, but I picked this up from merchants there in Dearborn, actually. Along with my other ones, so they got a bunch of good beers over there usually, so I figured why not. So I'm gonna pop this one.
No,
nice pop.
Go. Ooh, it smells really good.
That's Foley quality.
Oh wow, that is a really good Belgian triple. It's similar to like a Le Fin du Monde type of Belgian triple, but it's got a little more. Or a little less subtle in the coriander, I guess. I don't even know that there's coriander in this, but it doesn't have that peppery bite in the same way that the Le Fin du Monde does. But really good balance of sweetness and nice smooth body. It's kind of light in color, like a blonde ale. Really good though. Really good beer. I'd recommend this one. It didn't foam up really. It's got a small little amount of head, but smells great. Low hop again on this one, but for a Belgian, really good, really well done.
Any banana, bubblegum, any of the typical Belgian yeast characteristics?
It almost has some sour kind of citrusy flavors to it as well.
Oh, that's no one I've never had. I want to try that. Hmm. Is everyone still there?
I was wondering. Yeah.
I thought I heard some noises as if there were some drops.
I thought I had muted for a moment there.
Or a guitar. Hear a guitar.
All right.
Well, I have the website for this up if anybody wants me to read any description or anything. Would you like me to do that?
Go ahead, what do you got on there? They got anything else from the same brewery?
Web description of your beer. It says Triple Carmeliet was launched in 1996 and was received a great and fully deserved acclaim. It is a triple, 8.4% in volume, but brewed with barley, wheat, and oats. It could even be considered as a six-grain beer, as each of the grains is used in their raw as well as malted form. In 2008, the beer won a gold medal at the World Beer Awards, which led to demand exceeding supply, although production had already been increased by 30% by then. 2012 saw a number of cafes once again run out of supplies owing to the huge success of this popular triple. So, another beer with oats.
Wow. Yeah, it's got a pretty nice portfolio there for the awards and 158,000 U.S. gallons annually.
It's a lot of beer.
I got to hand it to you, Junior, for branching out. And I know you like the Belgian styles, and I think you've brewed some too, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a similar style to this, actually, like a Le Fin du Monde, just recently.
Is it any left?
No, it's gone. Come on now. It doesn't last around here.
I knew the answer before I asked.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good that you included this, because we sometimes get lost in the American craft, and we got to remember that these are the guys, you know, the Belgians and the Germans, and the English. You know, that's who blazed the trail, you know, in the early days of making better beers. Right. So let's not forget those classics. And, you know, this beer actually is relatively young. It said it was just developed in, I just read it, I can't remember the year. What was it, 2008? So it hasn't been out forever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I had a launched in 1996. Recently. Okay. But
I had a friend recently that
beers
said
from this brewery that were launched in the 18th century. Has anybody heard of Quack, K-W-A-K? That's from the same brewery. I know that's one that's always very highly revered. So
I haven't heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was in Las Vegas, everybody raved over that. It's Pauwel Crack, P-A-U-W-E-L, capital K-W-A-K, Quack. Maybe it's Quake, maybe it's Quack, but K-W-A-K.
I just had a friend recently tell me,
sounds more
hey, you know, I've tried all kinds of pale ales and IPAs and double IPAs, and he's getting kind of burned out on the IPA and the American IPA thing and all that. He says, what should I try next? And my first suggestion to him was to start getting into the Belgian ales and the whole variety that can be, that you know, the offering from that set of styles coming out of the Belgian beers, you know, the doubles and the triples and the quads and right. all the influence from the grains and the yeast and the different kinds of hops. There's a whole new world.
On that, I mean, on that note too, with the grain, I was actually buying some grain for a pilsner that I had made this weekend. You know, and I was talking to the guy at the store where I buy my grain from, and he said, you know, the reason it's not easy to replicate these recipes here is because, you know, if you try to use an American grain, you know, the pH levels of the soil are different than what they grow in Belgium and Germany, and that's why their beers are just going to taste different. You know, the soil there is different. It's grown differently. It's just got a different flavor that, you know, the American soil is going to be just its own kind of unique spin on it. So that was kind of an interesting thing, and I even noticed that in my own beer. I tried to make it similar to another style or another beer, and it just couldn't come out exact.
And when you brew your own beer here in this country, you have to call it a Belgian style ale because it can only be Belgian if it's from Belgium.
Well, yeah, it's like with champagne. If you don't make it in like a certain region in France,
it should be sparkling wine. It's not champagne. It's
sparkling wine,
just like Kolsch and
Oktoberfest. Or they call it method champenois.
Wait, yeah, Oktoberfest. No. That's one of the first things you guys taught me. Oktoberfest beer can't not come from Germany. If it's not from Germany, it has to be Oktoberfest style, correct?
Yep.
That and Kolsch too.
Marzen.
Kolsch is only it's a Kolsch style ale or lager. Kolsch is an ale, I believe. It's brewed with ale yeast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kolsch has to be from Cologne, Germany. That's where the, you know, that's the appellation. So just a couple other
is Cologne from Cologne, or does it have to be body fragrance?
One other topic to discuss.
Somebody had to ask.
What was that?
Is Cologne from Cologne, or do you have to call it body fragrance otherwise?
Bada bing.
Hey-o.
Well, one other debate. For the fake craft beer news shows, or not fake craft beer shows, this is just a debate we can have, is the craft beer bubble about to burst?
Nah.
So my what we're seeing is the double-digit growth that craft beer has enjoyed has slowed. It's now into the single digits. I think we all see that it's kind of slowing down. I don't think the bubble has burst. I think what's happening is what I'm seeing amongst a lot of my fellow craft beer hounds are a lot of people always want something new. You don't want to, you know, whereas we used to find our, you know, we had our staples, we had our two or three beers that we really loved. And for an extent, a lot of this stuff is seasonal. So like every year, like when KBS comes around, we haven't seen it for a year, so then it's new again and we can enjoy it. But stuff that's been around a long time, like a Fat Tire or something, you know, some of your more common, your Samuel Adams Boston Lagers, those brands are struggling because people are looking for something new. And, you know, one of the contributors to that is the social aspect of craft beer. We have beer groups on the internet. All of us belong to various ones locally and nationally on like Facebook and Twitter and so forth. And then, of course, there's the Untappd app a lot of people have. I know I do. And one of the things if you talk to somebody else that have Untappd, right away they'll say, oh, how many unique beers do you have? You know, it's like a badge to have all, try as many different beers. And I have friends that, you know, they only want singles of beers because they want to be able to add six beers to their untapped rather than have a six-pack of one beer. So I think that is a contributing factor into the decline of some of these brands. People constantly want something new that they have not had. Anybody else want to add to that?
I couldn't agree more, because of the, you know, the limited release, you know, limited volume stuff that's new and different. And if they do that on a seasonal basis, you know, all these craft breweries, you're going to get everybody lining up for it every year, right? And you can, I can name on, you know, both hands and then some, all the different ones that come to mind that, you know, we clamor for every year because they're limited and they're new, right? And I think I'm glad we talked about trends earlier in this show tonight, because we've got to think about the trends that are coming. You were talking about Pilsners and Kolsches and low ABV, you know, drinkable beers that people are, you know, they're looking for something new in that space. And I think there's a lot of room to grow there still. And just imagine all the different variations and flavors that you can put now with Pilsners and Kolsches, just like you're doing with juicy IPAs and stuff like that. So I think there may be downturns, and maybe some of the large volume staple brands and staple styles, but I think there's still a lot of room for upswing in the niche and specialty stuff.
So, well, and those larger brands, they're taking other action to be able to continue to look for growth. For example, right. The Lagunitas merger with Heineken, that's going to open up, you know, 90 countries to Lagunitas that they didn't have access to before, because Heineken's such a global brand, they'll be able to use their distribution network to get Lagunitas. And that's a great thing for everyone, to get more good beer in more places. And then another example would be Schorz finally expanding out of Michigan. It used to be, you know, Michigan only, and now they made the business decision, well, you know, we have a very finite, no room to grow anymore if we don't go outside the state of Michigan, and now their great beers are being, you know, transported to other states, neighboring states. So these are just another interesting examples.
Another interesting trend do you see in there too, saying, well, JR, not just mergers and moving to other markets, is collaboration beers. You get a couple of craft breweries collaborating on a beer, and all of a sudden there's demand for that.
Yep, and we see notable Stone, you know, a brewery like Stone. Stone's building a second brewery on the East Coast. You know, you've got, you know, New Belgium has already done that. They have a brewery in North Carolina.
Sierra Nevada.
So you have to find a way, new frontiers to establish growth for your brand. And these mergers and acquisitions are ways to do that. And we've seen it also with the parent company, I think it's Fireman's Capital, a venture capital company that I believe they owned Oscar Blues, or had a big piece of Oscar Blues. They bought into first Cigar City in Florida, and now Perrin in the Grand Rapids area. And now we have you know, three breweries all owned by the same ownership, and that, you know, power in numbers there. They can partner. Matter of fact, I believe just this week they released the Triangulation Imperial Stout, which is a collaboration between those three breweries, and they're going to release the beer in those three markets.
That's what I was talking about, collaborations.
These are examples of how breweries are finding ways to, you know, expand into new markets and facilitate growth that way.
And there's still a lot of areas that are really relatively kind of new to the scene, too. Like, I was in North Dakota 3 or 4 weeks ago, north of Fargo in Grand Forks, and there was a brewery up there called the Rhombus Guys, and the only brewery in the area. I mean, there's a brewery in Fargo, two breweries in Fargo, and then throughout the rest of North Dakota, there's nothing. And in South Dakota, same thing. So, you know, people flock to those places, and they're interested and curious in other types of beer out there than just your standard domestic beer that you get.
Yeah, we've all been to that dreaded restaurant where you're going in and Bud Miller Coors. Where is it? There's got to be one tap. There's got to be one bottle in the case.
Can I get a Sam Adams, for the love of God?
Yeah, Blue Moon or something.
So maybe that's the last frontier.
All right, everybody. Well, that just about does it. Episode 58 in the can, or in the bottle. You know, whatever you prefer. Maybe
in the crowler.
Yeah, maybe put in a keg, maybe put in a crowler. Everything. We'll get to it next show, but I did see a news story about how Colorado is leading the craft beer can revolution. But that's teeth. That's for next show. We'll get into that maybe then. Thanks to everybody who's listened, who's downloaded, who has shared, who has retweeted. You can find us on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast, on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast as well. Instagram, it's, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm old. It seems like podcasts live and thrive on Twitter. I'm not saying Instagram isn't viable, but we're there. We're still there. Keep it updated monthly-ish. But we get everything on. But don't let that stop you. You know what? If you want me to pay more attention to Instagram, send me pictures of what you're drinking. At Beer Nut Podcast on Instagram. Of course, you can do it on Twitter. We'll retweet it for you. And two, we're working on getting a new logo. Now that this show knows what it is, now that we know what we are, we're going to get a logo that states more of the mission for you. So be it. I mean, we're in an instant consumption age, and we're working on something that, you know, bottom line, we need you to know what it is after looking at it. The end. And we're getting a new logo, and then we will get them on a glass, and then we will go back to giving away glasses. Might even sell them. Maybe if you perhaps find it in your heart. We've given you so many free hours of craft beer knowledge. Maybe you want to give us $5 to $10 for a glass. We might even be setting that up as well. But we are on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Just go to ChristopherMedia.net because we have all the tools you need there to share it on all of your social media networks. Every month is bigger than the last one, so thank you. And remember, the best way for you to help this podcast grow is tell somebody. That's it. We're in the infancy of a medium, and that is how you spread the word. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
And welcome back, Junior.
Yes.
Glad to have you. Hopefully we'll hear more of you in the future.
Yeah, and always my pleasure. Always enjoy
Mexico City.
AMF.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.